Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Isn't it so wonderful to gather and worship? Such an incredible sense of the presence of God over this place today. And today I want to share with you a word that I felt God was laying on my heart last week as we listened to Pastor Ken preach here. We heard him via the stream. Who remembers or who was here last week and heard Pastor Ken's message? Or maybe you've watched it online as well. He shared with us this message called The Lord of Stewards. And in that message, he shared with us this concept of lordship, that God is the Lord over our lives. And he explained lordship like this, that the Greek word for Lord that we read in the Bible is the word kyrios, which means someone who has authority, power, or ownership over something or someone else. And so when we speak about Lord, when we pray to the Lord, when we say praise the Lord, we are declaring that he is the one who has authority, power, ownership, dominion, control, and rulership over our lives. That's what we're declaring. We say Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And one of the things that Pastor Ken spoke to us about is that many of us as believers, we're very willing to say, Jesus, be my Savior. I want you to save me. And we're willing to accept his grace and his mercy and all the wonderful things that go with that. But we're not always willing to allow God to be Lord over our lives. And so often we struggle with that, right? Because we don't want someone else to have control. We want to have control. We don't want someone to have the ownership over what's happening in our life. We want to own it. We want to hold tightly to that. And so he spoke to us about choosing to make every part of our lives subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we're not just a people who want to say we are saved by grace, but we also want to be people who say Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And we know that we struggle with it for many reasons, but today I want to focus in on a particular reason or a particular context that we tend to struggle to allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives. And that this context is that when we face challenges, because so often when challenges arise, we can find it even more difficult to allow our lives to be subject to the Lord or to Jesus Christ's lordship. And so today I want to take you to a passage in Scripture where we read an account where some people are experiencing a difficult challenge, but they face a victory in that challenge because they allow God to be Lord, because they rely and allow and give themselves to be subject to his lordship in that challenge. Is that making sense today? Yep. So we're going to go to Exodus 17. And this scripture, Exodus 17, this account is when Moses is leading the people through the wilderness, leading the Israelites. And it says they came across a group of people called Amalekites. And it says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What an incredible testimony, right? Today I want to speak to you on this thought, don't drop your rod. Don't drop your rod. So we see here Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness. They have their first encounter with a physical battle as they're making their way through the wilderness. They've been released from slavery and now they're facing their first battle. As Joshua leads the Israelites against this army of Amalekites, Moses sits himself on top of a hilltop nearby, holding the rod of God. And as he holds it up, they start to win the battle. And as he lets it down, then they start to lose the battle. And so it didn't matter how well Joshua was leading that army. It didn't matter how well trained the army was. It didn't matter what armor they were using. It didn't matter how well armed they were. It didn't matter how well skilled they were. The entire battle hinged on whether or not Moses held up the rod of God. Now, there was nothing magical about this rod. This was just simply a rod that Moses had used when he was shepherding in Midian. And as when Moses, if you remember, came to the burning bush when God first commissioned him to go and release the Israelites from captivity, God said to Moses, throw down your rod, and he turned it into a serpent, and he gave him all these ways of taking the rod before Pharaoh to see to show this miracle working power of God through this very natural, very physical stick, basically. And there was nothing magical about this rod. You see, Moses' posture of lifting the rod to God was not a way of waving a magic wand. It wasn't a way of providing some kind of psychological encouragement to the army. It wasn't even an act of Moses interceding and praying for those armies that were in the valley below. Rather, it demonstrated Moses and the Israelites' dependence on God for their victory in the battle. As Moses held the rod of God high, he was declaring that the battle they were fighting was subject to the lordship of God. They were holding the result of that battle up to God and saying, God, we rely on you. We are dependent on you to move in this battle and bring about the victory. So as long as Moses held up this rod, everything that was taking place in the valley below was coming under the authority and the power of his Lord. Now, as you are in this service today, as you leave this service today, I'm sure that none of you are about to go out there, put your armor on, pick up your sword, and go into some kind of physical battle, right? No one's planning to fight an army today. Awesome. Great. We're all going to be just fine. And so while we may not fight a literal battle in our lives, we often will face figurative battles. Okay, we all face difficulties, we all face challenges and trials. Life can really throw us some hard things, right? Life can really throw us some curveballs. And if you're a believer in this place, I am sure without a doubt that you would agree with some of these statements about Jesus being Lord. That in the face of whatever challenge you are facing, that Jesus Christ is still Lord. And I'm sure without a doubt you would agree also with this statement that no matter what the challenge is that you are facing, that Jesus Christ has the authority and the power to overcome. That as Lord, he can have that authority and power to overcome in those areas of challenge that we're facing. But one of the things that we may find very difficult when we're facing challenges, though we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, though we know that he has the authority and power to overcome, it's our willingness to subject the challenges we're facing and the outcome to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because so often when we face challenges, so often when we face difficulties, our response is, oh, we'll take care of that. We will handle it, that I'm up to the task, that I can go in and I'll sort it out, and we start racking our brains for the solution. We make decisions to figure out the solution to our difficulty on our own. We attempt to journey through it in our own strength. Is anybody here resonating with this today? We lose sleep. We choose our fingernails to the bone. We get grumpy and frustrated with everyone around us. We worry and we try to bring our own solutions to the challenges and the problems that we face. We might even choose to say, oh, we're not going to go to church right now because we just got to bunker down and get our head into this problem and this issue. I just need to solve this. Or I'm not going to go to Connect Group anymore just for this season because I need to focus in and find a solution to this problem. I need to deal with that issue in my marriage. I need to sort my kids out. I need to focus on getting that job or that promotion. I need to work out that difficulty that I'm struggling with in my insecurities. I need to overcome that addiction, whatever it might be. We tend to just want to bunker down, focus in, and sort it out ourselves. And so we don't submit the challenges that we're facing in our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we read about what the Apostle Paul wrote about facing challenges and difficulties, he made this statement. In fact, he made this statement towards the end of his life. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he wrote, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In this statement, Paul boldly declares how he has lived his life well for God. Now, if you read about Paul's life, it was not devoid of challenges. He was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, he was jailed, he was tortured, he was run out of town, he was beaten, all kinds of challenges. You name it, he pretty much experienced it. And even as he writes this, he is in prison. And when he recounts, as he's facing the end of his life, as he recounts the kind of life that he's lived, he doesn't comment on how well known he was. He doesn't recount the number of churches he's planted. He doesn't recount the attendance of his churches. He doesn't recount how many leaders and pastors he raised and released. He doesn't even talk about the number of people that he's led to Christ. As he recounts his life, he simply states that in the fight, in the race, in the battle, he didn't drop his rod. But he lived a life that was committed and faithful to the Lord. Right to the end. You see, so often we base our success on the external, right? So often we base that measure of success on what the outside or the temporal things in our life look like. We base it on what kind of job we have, our income, our popularity, our grades, how well our kids are doing, whether we've got the right house or the right car or a highlight reel looks amazing. But the writer, but Paul knew that the value that we place on our life is whether or not we remain faithful and committed to our Lord God, no matter what it is that we are facing. That everything that we have is subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul didn't drop his rod. He remained faithful and dependent on Jesus Christ as his Lord. That when he got to the end of his life, he could say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. The writer of Hebrews, it talks about this living a life of faith like this. He says in 11 verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Wow. Just think on that. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. That statement, it is impossible to please God without faith. If we look on the flip side of that, faith is very pleasing to God. Faith is very pleasing to God. God rewards our faith. He smiles on your faith. In times of battle, you can turn to the ways of man. You can turn to seek to have those outward appearance of everything doing right. Or you can turn and build your life on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can hold up your rod and say, no matter what comes against me, I'm going to choose to remain committed and faithful and dependent on my Lord. I'm going to continue to hold up my rod high and commit it all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, every part of it. That's the kind of life That's the kind of life I want to live. And that's the kind of church I want to be a part of, don't you? A church that says no matter what comes against us, we are going to stay committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and continue to submit our challenges and our difficulties to his Lordship. And so I want to share with you 3 points, three points around this idea of submitting our challenges to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the first point is this: if God was in it, then God is still on it. If God was in it, then God is still on it. To continue with Paul, he wrote this in 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Like I said, in the letter of 2 Timothy was written by Paul as he was incarcerated in a Roman prison, actually awaiting his execution. And even though he was facing the biggest challenge of his life, even though he was facing this difficult situation, he says, Paul continues to say that even though he's in prison and being persecuted, God is still on this. I might be facing a challenge, but I know God is still on this, that I am committed to him and I know that he is able to keep what I've committed to him. He is able to keep me so that even when my life is over, I can stand before the Lord and say, you kept me, God. I have remained faithful, and if I've committed my life to you, you have kept me, that you have the final word. You see, so often we can think that the victory that we need to seek in life, the victories that we desire to see in our challenges are that we desire to see God bring about that healing, that we desire to see God bring about that reconciliation of our relationships, that we desire to see God move powerfully to bring about the victory. And we do. We stand in faith, right? Pastor Ken has shared with us, we acknowledge the facts, but we stand in faith. We believe that God will move and we believe that he will bring about the victory. But just as important as seeing that victory come is that we would be able to stand in faith no matter what that challenge looks like. That is much a victory as it is for you to get that healing. That's as much a victory as it is for you to see that relationship restored, that you can stand in faith no matter what that challenge looks like, that you can continue to hold up that rod and declare that that challenge comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that you can say, I have committed my life to you, Lord, and I know you will keep me. I know that you will hold me. I know that on that day, I'm going to be able to stand before you and say, God, I remained faithful to you, and you have kept me. You have held me in your hands. No matter what the outcome, I know that victory, that sustaining power comes from you. Because you see, if God was in it, he's still on it. If God is in your life, he is on the challenge that you are facing. I'm not saying he brought it, but he is on it with you. He is doing a work in that challenge. Who knows that life doesn't always look pretty? But just because you are facing a battle, it doesn't mean that God's no longer on the journey with you. You can know that if God is in your life, he is still on it. He's still on your life to keep you, and that means he will continue to guard, to continue to keep watch. He's still on your life. He's still on what is happening in your world. You know, the New Living Translation describes God's prophetic word against the Amalekites like this. You see, the Amalekites were a people that continually came against God's people and God's purposes. And towards the end of this account, where Moses and Joshua and Aaron and Hur overcame the Amalekites in that battle, the Lord spoke this in Exodus 17:16. He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne. So now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. It says they've raised their fist against the Lord's throne. They had actually come against the Israelites. But God says, you're raising your fist not against the Israelites. God declares that they were raising their fist against him. You see, God takes attacks against his people personally. He takes it personally. When something is raising its fist against God's plan for your life, when something is raising its fist against your family, or your friends, perhaps your generation or even our community, when you raise your rod to God, you're saying, I'm going to do my part to stand in faith, to remain committed to what God desires to do in this. I'm not going to drop my rod. I'm going to hold this up to the Lordship of Christ until I see the battle won. And you see, God takes that attack personally when his people are threatened. When they surrender to his will and they hold their hands up to him, he comes in to bring about his purpose for them and the generations to come. He comes to bring about his purpose for you as you hold up the rod to God. He takes it personally. No matter what the battle may be, it's not time to drop your rod, but it's time to continue to be dependent upon the one who is able to keep you until that day. If God was in it, God's still on it. He takes it personally and he will continue to do a work in that situation to bring about the victory. My second point is this, is that your faithfulness in the battle will bless you and the generations coming after you. When the battle was won against the Amalekites, the Lord said this to Moses in verse 14. He said, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This battle that they had with the Amalekites was the first of many battles that God's people fought against them. Some they won, some they lost. But generation after generation, they removed more and more of this force that had set itself to come against the people and the purposes of God. They fought the Amalekites again under King Saul. They fought them again under King David and then King Hezekiah. And finally, the complete destruction of the Amalekites came about at the hand of the Israelites during the time of Esther. One victory built on the one before. One victory built on the one before. So as each generation won a victory over these Amalekites, they were whittled down again and again and again until they were completely removed from the face of the earth. You see, if Moses had dropped his rod and he'd let the enemy overrun God's people and God's purposes, then Moses would have passed on to the next generation not a victory, but rather another battle for them to fight. A greater army that they had to come up against. When you don't drop your rod and you remain faithful in the battle of life, you create a platform of faithfulness and victory for the next generation to stand on. That they can step up onto that platform and add their faithfulness and their victories to yours. And the next generations add their faithfulness and their victories until all those who have gone before. You see, we don't want to be a people who just pass on from one generation to the other our dysfunction, our battles, our insecurities, our hardships. We don't want to be the kind of people who just continue to pass them on down the line. We want to be a people who pass on a legacy of faithfulness. We want to be a people who pass on a legacy of victory. We want to pass on to the next generation that we stayed faithful in the face of trial, even if it didn't work out the way that we hoped, that we remained faithful, that we didn't let offense take us out of God's purposes for our lives, but rather we remained faithful, that when we were faced with grief or tragedy, when we're faced with challenges and difficulties, that we continue to stay in the house of God and hold on to him in faithfulness, that we surrendered our bad attitudes to him. Hey, come on. That we surrender our insecurities to him, that we surrender our fears to him, that we continue to live our lives holding those rods up high and saying, God, we subject every challenge and every difficulty to your lordship so that we can pass on to the next generation a legacy of faithfulness and victory. My third point is this, is that the legacy of faithfulness is built in the context of family. The legacy of faithfulness is built in the context of family. Right from the outset, when God created the world and established humanity on the face of the earth, He declared this to them. He gave us this purpose. In Genesis 1:28, it says that God blessed them. God blessed Adam and Eve. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You see, God created Adam and Eve to fill the earth and subdue it, not just for themselves, but for the generations to come. They would not subdue the whole earth on their own, but in family and over generations, taking ground for God and passing what they took onto the next generation, and then they would take more until the whole earth was subdued and coming under the dominion of God. That is God's purpose still for us today. That is what God created us for today. And just like we saw in that account, Moses, Aaron, Joshua and Hur, they were all vessels used by God to bring about his victory in that battle. That they gathered together and they worked together, they played their part to lift that challenge up under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Joshua was in the battle. Moses, Aaron and Hur were focused on the raising of the rod. And in this context of community and family, God built a legacy. God built a victory and a faithfulness that was passed on from one generation to the next. This is where legacy is built in the context of family. This is where legacy is built in the context of community. People all coming together and bringing their part to play to establish a victory for the next generation to stand on. When you're in a time of battle, you want people around you who are going to help you to continue to hold up your rod. You want people around you who are going to speak words of faith into your life and point you in the direction that God is leading you on. Who's going to say to you, hey, if God is in your life, then God's on this. People are going to say to you, don't relent. Don't drop your rod, but continue to hold firm in faith. That's the kind of people you want around you in your life. You want the Aarons and you want the Hers in your world who are going to help you to hold up your rod. I remember going through a season, actually was when I first started in this role as campus pastor and sitting down and speaking with our senior pastor, Chrissy Lee, one day and sharing with her how I had these deep-seated doubts and fears about I probably shouldn't be doing this. Are you sure? And in that sharing and in that conversation of sharing my doubts, she turned my eyes towards what God had spoken over my life. She turned my eyes to the purpose and the calling on my life, and she helped me to have and hold a perspective of faith. She was like she came up under my arms and said, no, don't drop your rod, hold it high. Continue to hold it high. And you know what? I walked away from that conversation feeling full of faith and with a deep and renewed in my desire to serve and honor the Lord with the gift and the call and the purpose on my life. But as I had gone into that conversation, I'd had a hope and an expectation that I was going to be able to walk away. Does that make sense? I had a hope and an expectation that I was going to be given, be backed in my desire to drop the rod. And so often when we're in those kinds of situations, instead of looking towards the Aaron and Hers in our life, we can want to lean into those people in our world who will bring a voice to back the excuses that we hold to say, I just want to drop my rod. And you know this, right? You know you have people in your world and there are people that are out there that'll back your excuses. There are people that are out there that'll get around you and say, yeah, you should just back off from that thing. You should just let it go. You should just walk away. Yeah, it's too much. It's too hard. I know it's tough. You should probably just stop going to church for a few months and then go back when it's all better. Do you have those people in your life? And we know we can so often want to seek them out and look for those who are going to give us a reason to drop our rod, who are going to back our excuses and back our feelings. But what we need to do in a time of challenge, in a time of difficulties, we need to seek out those people who are going to be the Aarons and are going to be the Hers, who are going to say, I can see you getting tired. Here, come sit on this rock. I can see you getting weary. Let me get under your arms and let me hold you up and let me point you again to the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. Let me point you again to the call that God has upon your life. Let me point you again to the fact that God, if God was in your life, he's still on this. That God has a plan and a purpose and he's going to outwork that in your life. A time of challenge is not a time to withdraw from people of faith, but rather to put yourself into it. To insert yourself into the church, to insert yourself into Connect, to be where others of faith are. In Psalm 68, the psalmist wrote this. He said, God sets the solitary in families. God sets the solitary in families. He does this because, just as he declares over and over again in Scripture, it is not good for man to be alone. He said that in Genesis 2:18. He does this because those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. He said that in Psalm 92:13. He says that because that is where legacy is created in the context of family. Go forth, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, take dominion. It happens in the context of family. In the time of battle, it's time to get around those places where faith flows. Go to church, go to your Connect. Come to revival prayer night, right? If you're a volunteer, put yourself in the room for Heartbeat. Get around those Aarons and those Hers who, when you are tiring in the battle, will set you up with words of faith. They'll pray for you. They'll encourage you. They'll support your arms and help you to keep your rod lifted high and subject that challenge to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that you can be the kind of person that keeps living that life of faith until the sun goes down. And when you do that, you've added another layer of faithfulness and victory to your life and to your legacy. A faithfulness that will carry on from generation to generation. The other side of this coin is that you need to be an Aaron or a Her for someone else. So often when we are walking in life and we're not dealing with the challenges others around us are. And what I love about this example of Aaron and Her is so very little is known about her. Very little is known about this man. Scholars think he was Caleb's son. Some scholars are not really sure who he was or where he came from. He was someone of little mention, but here he is holding up the arms of Moses. And you know, you don't have to be a pastor or be a leader to be intentional about speaking words of faith to other people. You don't have to be a pastor or a leader to be getting around others and encouraging them in living a life of faith. To be an Aaron or to be a Her and support them in holding up their rod while they're facing their battle, that they're facing their challenge. But what you do need to do is you need to put yourself in proximity with others. If Her wasn't in proximity to Moses, he never would have been the one going to the hilltop. If Her wasn't in proximity to Aaron and the army and Joshua, he would never have been invited to that hilltop to hold up the arms of Moses. The only way that we get to operate in that gifting and be able to encourage and lift up the arms of others is that we put ourselves in proximity with others, that we put ourselves in spaces and places where we know what others are going through and we can come alongside them and we can encourage and we can lift up their arms. You know, today God is calling us to be a people who do not allow the challenges of life to overcome us, but rather continue to hold that rod up, that we don't drop it, but rather we continue to subject every challenge and every difficulty that we face to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I just want to invite the band to come. You know, when this battle was done that we talked about today, Verse 15 tells us that Moses built an altar and he called its name, The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. Moses here is attributing or giving a name to God. The Lord is my banner. in the Hebrew, it's translated as Jehovah Nissi. That word Nissi simply means banner. And that banner or flag was something that as an army went into battle, they would hold it up. They would hold up that banner or they hold up that flag as they would go into battle. And it was a symbol or represented who they were fighting for. The Lord is my banner. This is who, and this is who fights for us, and this is what we are fighting for. To hold our faith, to hold the line, to continue to be a people who hold up our rod, who don't let it drop, who stand in faith no matter what comes against us in our life. And know that our God is Jehovah Nissi, that He is the one who fights our battles. He is the one who brings about the victory. He is the one who can cause us to rise in a measure of faith like we've never had before, no matter what we face.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.